I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. So often at climate events, I find a sea of gray heads, they're all nodding, and not enough young people who will be hit hardest by climate change. But young people are out there, they are organizing and communicating using all sorts of new media. Today, we'll talk with Madeline Kovacs, the co-coordinator of the Project Survival Media, and I'd like to welcome you to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much, Alex. It's wonderful to be here.
Madeline, tell us about your project.
So Project Survival Media was basically born out of the international youth climate movement that coalesces around the international negotiations to fight for a fair and binding treaty that will secure a future for all people on the planet that basically will ensure that we're able to survive and thrive on the planet. It's funny that you, in your introduction, you know, you mentioned that at climate conferences and climate events, it's a sea of gray heads, and I think that is unfortunately a lot of the time very, very true. However, my experience at the international negotiations is that young people from all over the world are forming relationships across country lines, across cultural lines, and we all understand that our future is very much at stake. And we also understand that our futures are tied together with every other person and every other young person on the planet. And the conversations that arise from that are so much more powerful and forward-looking and sort of like ready to leave behind this old jargon of statistics and targets that we usually talk about in the media with regards to climate change. We're ready to get our hands dirty, build the solutions that we need to see. And so Project Survival Media was born out of that. You know, we absolutely recognize that people on the planet are already suffering because of climate change right now to the degree that their survival is at stake. And the mission of the project is to lift up those voices and perspectives that you mentioned are very underreported and underrepresented in the climate conversation and give people the chance to share their stories about how climate change is affecting them, but also what their community is doing about it, and to share the solutions that they're finding. So that is our mission. We train youth journalists, writers, photographers, and videographers to create news content around the front lines of climate change. Who are the most impacted people? How is climate change affecting them? But even more importantly, how are they adapting and mitigating climate change? They're doing it already. They're doing it right now, and their stories need to be shared.
So we're not just talking about a North American viewpoint. You're getting people in other parts of the world as part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way we operate is it is coordinated centrally. The founder and my co-coordinator, Shadia Fain Wood, and I are based in Berkeley, California, and housed with the Earth Island Institute. But the way that we operate is we seek out talent and then assemble media teams in different countries all over the world. So we're a global organization, and basically that enables that media team to focus really locally on the local issues, on a narrative that's going to speak to people locally about what's going on. But hopefully that narrative will also translate and be a really good educational moment for, you know, a North American audience that isn't used to seeing a video produced by a youth in India. So we really work with people locally to train more youth journalists to report in a very intelligent, specific way on the front lines of the climate crisis.
Well, Radio EcoShock has just reported on how very important what's happening in India can be. Tell us about your new team there.
Well, sure. We're really excited to announce we just launched our Team India about 2 months ago. And this team is part of a program called Solutions for Survival. So we kind of have two distinct programs, one being our presence at the United Nations and reporting on stories from the UN. The other is Solutions for Survival, which is basically a new media series designed to deal with the reality that people are already experiencing climate change, and as our international and governmental systems of leadership are failing to provide people with the solutions that they need as quickly as they need them, that people are finding their own climate solutions, and there's incredible resiliency in communities. Basically, our media teams are focusing on solutions areas across like a really wide range, from urban planning to women's empowerment to water use to sustainable agriculture. Like, what's scary but also really fortunate about climate change as an issue is that there are lots of little solutions, and they all need to happen and be shared at once. Team India is going to focus on different solutions areas in India and how people are addressing climate change. And the goal being that, you know, they create content, whether it's a video or a photo essay, like it's really engaging visual media that hits you very, very hard because these are real people being impacted by climate change. It's not just about facts or statistics. It's about the narrative of this person who has recently experienced food insecurity because largely of climate change and the effects that their region is experiencing. But it's more than that. It's the story of how they're adapting, how people are finding solutions. And our goal is that when someone watches our media, if you're a person in the U.S., you are educated, you are moved, and you are totally inspired by these climate solutions you're seeing. But if you're someone else in India or another developing country that has maybe a similar climactic, is in a similar geography, and you're experiencing these same effects of climate change already, then you not only are moved, you also have a place to begin in action and take this media piece and be able to start implementing a similar solution in your area. And so that's really our goal, is to create a catalog and a library of all these different climate solutions, but that are very accessible to people because they're engaging visual human stories. So it's really a very grassroots project. That's what our India team is up to, and we went through a very rigorous application and interview process, and our videographers, our editors, our photographers, our writers, and then our team leader are all absolutely amazing. If you go to our website, www.projectsurvivalmedia.org, we just put up a welcome to the team, and people can read the biographies of all of our team members, and we'll be sharing some exciting videos soon, so we're really excited about it.
And the beauty of it is, with this new technology, you can get some HD video right out of a phone even, so that it, what used to cost $100,000 for a camera, that shut out a lot of people. Those people are back now with this new technology. I noticed that Project Survival Media has some really interesting people on the mentorship board. It's a mixture of activists and storytellers and filmmakers, a couple of whom I recognize. Can you tell us just a couple of people who are there?
Sure. I'll give you a couple of highlights of some folks that we've just been so happy to have on board and have been so helpful. The first one's Christian Ettinger. He's wonderful. He's done a number of things. He's been a reporter. He's worked on documentaries. He's worked in environmental philanthropy for quite a while. And he and his wonderful wife, Clarice, actually hosted our first house party. So part of what we are so privileged to have a board that helps us do is basically Shadi and I are both 24, actually, I just turned 25 yesterday, but we're both young. And so when you go to launch a project like this, it is absolutely critical to have a group of more experienced adults and people who have professional backgrounds who are really invested in seeing your program succeed. So Christian has been so wonderful. He's one of those people. Another is Anisha Desai. She's the director of the New Leaders Initiative and the Brower Youth Awards at the Earth Island Institute, which is, of course, one of the most prestigious awards for young people working on environmental issues here in the United States. And another person I'll highlight that recently came on board is Josh Fox, who directed Gasland, which was, nominated for a 2011 Oscar. That's about the dangers of fracking. So he's kind of jumped onto the scene with this film in terms of a really long-form environmental documentary. So we're really excited to have his kind of narrative expertise.
Madeline, I want to say there was a lot of despair after that wishy-washy, I'm going to call it a failure, at Copenhagen last year. And yet your group is still planning to do something at the Durban United Nations COP17 climate negotiations. Those start up in South Africa November 28th. Why should people still hope for anything out of this United Nations process?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. And I know that is a question that we have been asking ourselves ever since the Copenhagen Agreement in 2009. I mean, we were devastated. You know, we came home and, 6 months later, I was still depressed about it because I think there was such a surge in 2009 and then kind of such a letdown for the global community and for the people on the front lines of climate change right now. It was devastating. I don't think we are going to see a meaningful agreement internationally that is the solid plan of action that the globe needs to truly tackle climate change and get binding commitments from key economies in 2011. I don't think that's what we're going to see. Something that did come out of 2009, though, that it took a longer time to see and to realize was the enormous groundswell of citizen participation and grassroots action and kind of networking and awareness that came out of 2009 in terms of maybe we don't wait for our governments to come up with the plans of action that we need. Maybe it's going to be much more distributed, much more regional, much more local. And maybe this is an opportunity for us to plant the seeds and lay the groundwork for the kind of world that we want to live in. Now, that being said, that still, in my mind, leaves a bit of a scary gap between how fast we can see the kind of global change that we need and the kind of cuts in carbon emissions that we need. But civil society at the negotiations has been so much better about being inclusive and about making sure that most impacted peoples, like least developed countries, indigenous peoples, small island states, youth, those people have been almost shut out of the negotiation process. I mean, you saw groups of countries get together in 2009 and 2010 and really put the pressure on as much as they could in some ways. But to us, we can't get depressed by the lack of a perfect treaty and international action. When we go to Durban this year, Project Survival Media's mission will be to focus on those most impacted peoples and on those peoples that not only are most impacted, but also hold a lot of the solutions for how we as a globe are going to tackle climate change. We partner with NGOs and with media outlets because our content is covering perspectives that no one else is covering, that no one else is giving the kind of attention to and the kind of really critical questions like, okay, for your community, you know, 10 years out, what does this theoretical decision actually mean for you on the ground? We feel like we're able to hold the movement's feet to the fire and keep a lot of people honest in terms of making sure that they're still talking about equity and that they're still talking about survival and that they are still talking about climate change as a very, very human issue when the play-by-play gets started and we all start talking about tons of carbon. And
well, this could be a kind of launching platform and an organizing thing. You're going to make more connections from people all over the world who do care. And I'm thinking of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Maybe this is a time for the Occupy Durban movement, where all those voices that are left outside the walls, and especially youth, get a chance to break through a little bit and to report back. And while the spotlight is there, as lazy as the media can be, we'll try and make up for some of those holes. I'd like to hear some of the things that you're putting together that we could broadcast on Radio EcoShock. I think we could work together on that.
Definitely. We'd be happy to do that, both in terms of interviews and also in terms of we'll see at the negotiations what sorts of really pivotal stories emerge. That we already know there are a few beats, specific beats, we're definitely going to be covering within kind of what I've been talking about, one being the whole discussion about RED, which is the kind of forestry sub-agreement that people have been talking about. And I think that's going to get a lot of pushback from indigenous communities because their land rights are basically being forfeited. And basically forests are allowed to be bartered for carbon offsetting in a way that disenfranchises people who have lived there for hundreds of years. So that's the kind of issue that we try to bring to the forefront. We're excited to work with you.
How can young people hearing this right now get involved to set up their own climate survival media teams?
They can go to the website, projectsurvivalmedia.org, and they can send an email to either Shadia or myself. They can sign up to our newsletter to stay involved. And if they are interested in starting a media team, we do have a kind of search and then interview and process that we go through that's very formal to set up a media team, and a lot of it depends on funding and the talent we're able to find in different areas. But they should absolutely sign up to our newsletter, and they should absolutely send Shadi or I an email and introduce themselves and what they're passionate about and their skill sets or someone they know. You know, we love to hear from youth all over the country and all over the world who are really passionate about solving climate change.
You've been listening to Madeline Kovacs, the co-coordinator of the Project ProjectSurvivalMedia.org. We'll be keeping in tune with their productions here on Radio EcoShock. Madeline, thank you for talking with us, and thanks for keeping up the good fight for a survivable climate.
Oh, thank you very much, Alex. It was a pleasure. I'll talk to you again soon.
I'm Alex Smith.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.